The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. And now save 50% on the new Sleep Number limited edition smart bed. Plus free home delivery when you add a base. Ends Monday. Exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
Hello and welcome to the Over and Back Classic NBA Podcast. I am Jason, and with me, as usual, is Rich. Hello, Rich.
Hello. Yes, I love the idea. Let's just go. I don't want to even act like we haven't done a show since November of 2023. We'll just pretend like this is just another week. We've been doing shows. You guys have all missed them all. We thought we were uploading them. I guess they didn't get uploaded.
We forgot. Oops. Yeah, sorry about that.
They were all really good too. Every single episode that we did from November 2023 to today was like amazing, but. Alas, they're lost, and I deleted them off my computer, and they're
right.
The cloud does not exist.
Yes. Speaking of the cloud, so what was the Mavs general manager thinking? He had his head in the clouds when he made this trade. Let me tell you.
Yeah, we're back because the Luka trade got us back here. Doncic for Anthony Davis, and Max Christie and Maxi Kleber and all these other
A lot of Max.
I think, is that what happened? Is Nico Harris said, I want the Max, and they're like, all right, we'll give Max.
Sure.
Max
Christie. Yeah, that's the Max.
Christie, yes. We can do that. Oh, that's good.
Yeah. They threw in the Max from the Save by the Bell as well. So that's in California, right? That's in L.A.
Yeah, exactly. You know. Yeah, they got that.
Yeah,
they
Bayside.
Got,
yeah.
They're like, you don't want any other first-round picks? No, the Max? Nope. Okay, we'll give you the Max.
Absolutely. Yeah, Nico Harrison, huge Save by the Bell fan. It hasn't come out yet in reporting, but I happen to know that from some of my sources.
Wow, incredible. Yeah. So breaking news here. Huge, Save by the Bell fan, Nico Harrison.
Yeah, absolutely. Huge Save by the Bell fan. Why not? It's a classic show. So, I mean, I've read a lot of reactions to this trade. I've read a lot of, hot takes on, hey, is this the worst trade in NBA history? Which no, not even close. Is it the weirdest? Yeah, it's up there. Maybe it's the weirdest, most shocking. I mean, that's very subjective, but I cannot recall a trade that ever occurred in my lifetime that I was more shocked by. So I think just given the entire context, I mean, there've certainly been bigger stars traded. There've been plenty of odd situations in which stars get traded, but in terms of like Luka didn't want out. He wasn't seeking to leave. He seemed happy in Dallas. They just were like, we're sick of this guy. He's fat and we don't think he's actually that good. So let's trade him for a 31-year-old who gets injured a lot, I guess.
That's kind of as the days have gone on now since the trade happened, which is now we're recording this on a Tuesday and the trade happened on Saturday night. It started off first with the incredible were you awake when it was all going down, or were you?
I was awake.
Time, you don't know, you won't be able to appreciate just the weirdness that it was of Shams saying, here's the deal. And every single person was just like, well, Shams has been hacked or something.
Somebody
get a hold of Shams his account just got hacked and there's some ridiculous trade that just got sent out to the world. Yeah. And then like 6 or 7 minutes later, he has to quote tweet his original announcement and go, no, it's real. I swear.
Right. This is real. And then
people still were like, I don't know. Are we sure about that? And then it's like ESPN posted it. People were like, I don't know. Are we sure? And it was like until like 26 other people reported it. Then and only then were people like, okay, maybe it is real. Yeah. But maybe they all got hacked. Maybe it's a data breach or something. There's something's going on here. This can't be real. But it's a unique trade when the person who announces it has to say, no, guys, I'm serious. This is the
real trade. This is real. Yeah. I mean, I think maybe Anthony Davis has gotten a little bit shortchanged at all this because, yeah, Anthony Davis is obviously future Hall of Famer, great player. Like, if you only care about the next year and a half, you care about nothing else. Like, I guess Anthony Davis, and you also you care about keeping the trade secret for some reason. Like, I guess I can see from that perspective, Anthony Davis might be the best player that you can get, you know, to help you for the next year and a half, because he's obviously a great defensive player, and maybe he's not as special as Luka, but like in the short term, he might help the team more. Maybe if he's healthy. I mean, that's very a lot of caveats there, but like now that I've at least heard what the Mavs were thinking, I'm still blown away, but at least I can sort of understand the thinking behind it, even if I disagree fundamentally with a lot of, you know, what they seemed what's been reported and what they've said they've in public they were thinking. But yeah, at first you're like, well, why would anyone ever do this? Now it's, you know, I'm still kind of like, oh, why would they do this? But at least now it's like, okay, well, they only clearly care about the next year and a half, and they think that maybe Anthony Davis could be give them a better chance to win a championship if they do other things. And I'm like, okay, I don't buy it, but maybe.
Yeah, they've tried to in the days since justify it, and
right,
you're hear it and you're like, oh, like you can, it's not like like for a while there, it was like, what, are you guys mad? Like, what is going on here?
Right,
and now
right.
They've sort of addressed it. And again, like you said, I don't agree with what they've said. I don't, or I don't agree with their stance on it. They've been doing a little bit of like, this guy's really fat. Have you seen how much he drinks?
Right.
You see how he's like all this weird stuff about him, which we're going to talk about in a bit. This guy's this guy's so fat and so awful and so terrible, but is historically one of the greatest players of all time to this point.
Sure.
But what they are banking on is that he is so fat and so doesn't care about conditioning and so doesn't care about anything that he's a ticking time bomb that they have to get off of, which, okay.
Right.
And this is the thing about it. Okay. If he is a fat ticking time bomb that you must get out of, immediately, it still doesn't make sense why you then didn't offer him up to the entire league. Now, then their justification for that was, well, if we do that, then the agents and stuff are going to have, they're going to block it and do that sort of stuff. But it's like, all right. But we've seen this happen time and time again. This is not the first superstar to ever be traded. This is not the first great player to ever be traded. That's not the thing that's shocking about this, that it's a great player being traded. It's the way that it happens. It's just literally they decided that they were going to call the Lakers and tell the Lakers, hi, we want to trade Luka. Will you give us Anthony Davis? And the Lakers are like, one sec, as they go to mute, and they're like, is this guy serious? Like, yeah. And they're like, all right, hold on one sec. Like, so what is it? It's Davis for Luka? And they're like, yeah. He's like, I suppose we could do that. Like, I don't know. You're really making it tough for us, but I think we could try to make that happen. We can hash this out a little bit. That's where it's really unique, is that, you know, if you want to say that you are you want to get out of the Luka business, we don't want to pay him $330 million or whatever the hell the Supermax is going to be, then why not just tell the league Luka's for sale? And you can only imagine the offers. Every team is going to give you an offer. Like, I was trying to think about this, and I'm curious what your list would be, Jason. I was trying to think of if every team in the league got word, and maybe you could say, hey, we want to keep this really private, but just maybe we're going to float out trading Luka, what would your offer be? Don't tell anybody. Don't say anything. Don't leak anything. We really want this to not get leaked out. What is your offer? So I was thinking about that, of how many people in this league, how many players in this league would you not trade Luka for right now?
Because
my list, I had about 4 or 5, and I'm curious what your list is.
Right. I think Wemby. I wouldn't trade Wemby. I wouldn't trade Jokic.
Agreed. Yeah.
Yeah, I probably would not trade SGA, although I would at least think about that if I were OKC.
That was one of mine, but that was like my last one, where they're like, oh, I think we want to keep SGA like instead. So he was on my list too, yes. But he was like the last off.
And then Giannis would be the other one.
Yep, okay. And the only one I thought of was maybe the Celtics would hem and haw about Tatum.
Okay, I would agree with that. Yes.
But I think they would pause and have a discussion about it. Now, if you ask for Brown, they would say, yes, we're good. Send it in right out of the league office, for sure.
Sure.
Tatum is one where, like by play-wise, I think you could justify it. But I do wonder if it'd be like, oh, that's really tough for the fan base.
I think they're close to the same age. And Tatum, obviously, you know, was the best player on a championship team last year. Yeah, you probably aren't going to make that trade if you're the Celtics.
Do you have any idea? Obviously, we've been in this time warp where we've been recording all these podcasts that never got released. Who did they beat? Who did the Boston Celtics beat in the finals last year? I'm blanking on it. It must be a long recording. I missed it all.
Right. Yeah. I think, yeah, we were hunkered down on like a 15 episode series that we were recorded, you know, based on, obviously the life of Moses Malone. And yes. Yeah, unfortunately that never got released, but yeah, no. I believe it was Dallas Mavericks. Hmm. Hmm. Yeah.
Hmm. All right.
Interesting. Right.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. I don't believe it, but I think you're lying.
Okay. Well, yeah. Yeah, we'll have a research look into that and get back to us on that. So, right. But this is, yeah, I mean, it is, again, just completely bizarre. Yeah, but there's very, very few players that I would say no to. But then again, yeah, I mean, so those players are probably better or at least as good or at least as important to their teams as Luka. There's probably not anybody else who I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to, like all those guys, I would say, I mean, in each one of those cases, I would at least think about it. Even Jokic or Wemby, I'd at least think about it.
Right,
I mean,
right,
I would,
right.
I mean, I wouldn't, it, I don't think there's anybody who I would just flat out say absolutely not.
You know what's funny about that is my list and your list was missing one guy, LeBron. Where if the Mavs called the Lakers and said,
right,
will you give us LeBron? Like, I feel like the Lakers would probably say,
I think LeBron is a no trade clause. So I think LeBron could actually veto that. So that was one reason why I didn't put LeBron. I mean, I don't think politically they would have traded LeBron, but I mean, yeah, for basketball reasons, if LeBron agreed to it, yes, that would be another guy that was there anybody else on your list that you
that
considered
was it.
Or thought about?
That no, was that it. Was yeah, it. So, well, I guess we'll add Bradley Beal to that list because he'd probably deny that trade request too for
yes,
some reason.
Right.
He'd be like,
yes.
I don't know. They're like, dude, yeah. We don't want you here. Could you just go somewhere else?
So I guess, yeah, I mean, if you're thinking that, so then if you're thinking, well, okay, let's just say none of those guys are available. The Mavs say, hey, it's not even worth asking because none of those guys were available. I think I saw some reporting that they may have talked to Milwaukee, so they at least could have asked about Giannis, but I'm not 100% sure if that's accurate, but he'd be probably the other guy that, you know, he's a better option than Davis that gives you everything that you would want from Davis. Like, yeah, he's the other guy who would like fulfill what they're looking for in terms of he's going to be your defensive anchor and he's going to be, you know, he's going to fulfill that. Yeah. So is there a better player available than Anthony Davis? If you're just looking for the best player available, and you know, you take those five guys off the list because you know you're not going to be you think you're not going to be able to get them, then I guess is Anthony Davis the best player available after that, or is there anybody else that you could have gone for who like Embiid, but Embiid can't stay healthy, like,
right,
you know, like,
right, right,
yeah.
Now if you must trade, Luka, and you want, like you said, it's been clear in the way that they've talked about this trade that they're looking at this year, next year. That's when they want to compete. They want to compete this year, and they right. want to compete next year. They think that's a window that they have to possibly win a championship. So they want to win now. So with that understanding that we want a guy that we can immediately put on our team that immediately makes us better or the same or whatever, and right. we don't care about a ton of draft picks. We don't care about a bunch of future assets. We just want to win in the short term. Davis does come up pretty quickly in that list for me.
Right.
I'm trying to think of who else really – I mean, he might be the guy that if you're trying to think like, okay, you know, of those dudes, you know, because like you added Jaylen Brown. I don't know that Jaylen Brown makes them, like, you know, with Kyrie and Jaylen. Like, you're trying to have somebody that matches with Kyrie as well. So it makes sense that you'd want to go with a bigger guy. You'd want to go with, you know, someone that's got a little bit more size and defensive, you know, to them. So,
sure. I mean, yeah. So I'd rather have Anthony Davis than Jimmy Butler. would I rather have Anthony Davis than Steph? We didn't mention Steph. Steph's another weird one where, like, on paper, like, I would rather have Luka than Steph, but I can't imagine the Warriors trade. I can't imagine the Warriors trading. Well, I don't know. That's another
that'd
weird
be quite
one.
The like, thing. That'd be quite a yeah. thing. Yeah. That would be two franchises being like, why did you do this? You didn't have to do this. Like,
right.
Luka to the Warriors and Curry to the Mavs. Like, no, why?
Yeah.
Like,
so
nobody wants this.
Yeah, then I don't know, maybe Sabonis, like, but I mean, he kind of fits a lot of the, he's not as good of a defensive player, but he's big and can kind of anchor things. But I'd probably rather have Anthony Davis than Sabonis. Kawhi Leonard, another thing where, like, if I could guarantee that Kawhi was healthy, maybe I'd rather have Kawhi than Anthony Davis, but I don't, you obviously can't guarantee that. And Kawhi doesn't really, I mean, he's a great defensive player, but he doesn't, you know, anchor the front court the same way that AD does. So, yeah, and then there's really nobody else after that. There's really nobody else that I can think of that's like,
no,
even.
Because then you get into your, like, Karl Anthony Townses, and it's like, you don't
know. Right.
You don't want Carl. Yeah. He's doing great. I mean, Carl, he's having a good year, but I don't think you trade your franchise for Karl Anthony Towns or whatever.
No,
and
no.
Rudy Gobert, of course, you probably don't do that. And what should have happened? They should have traded him to the Bulls for Nikola Vucevic. I don't know why they didn't. Was that even asked? Was that even? was there even any discussion? Because I like that deal, Jason. I think that would have worked out very well for all parties involved to get Nikola Vucevic over to the Mavs and add some size to that. You know, that front
absolutely.
Court,
you want a big guy, obviously. You want a big guy who can anchor. Defense,
Hey, come on.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, so, right. So, again, I think we've done Anthony Davis a bit of more service here than he previously had. Because, yeah, great player. If you're going to, if you're going to make the decision that the Mavs did, which I wouldn't, but if you only care about the next year and a half, if you have to get the best player available and you want somebody who can make your defense better, which seems to be the criteria that they were going for. Yeah, I guess Anthony Davis is the guy that, the guy by default, pretty much, who's going to be available to you. So, yeah. So, you and I were racking our brains about and a lot of other people, of course, were thinking about what precedent does this have in NBA history where a guy, where that is comparable, where big star is getting traded at this stage of their career in this type of situation? Because, as we've said, doesn't happen often. And I mean, big stars being traded mid-season in a challenge trade, not a trade for assets, but a challenge trade. Yeah, very rare. So I don't know. What are some that come to mind for you?
So we were talking about just previous trades that you can even begin to try to compare this to. And it's very tough because what you have to do sort of with this is you almost have to go into the hypotheticals. Because it almost doesn't make sense to do it with any, and we'll discuss some of the bigger trades in NBA history and all that sort of things. But you almost have to go with hypothetical because you have to find a top five player in the prime of their career at a very young age, and then being traded in midseason for another top 10 to top 15 guy.
Right,
and you're not going to find that because it just doesn't happen. Teams don't do this. When you work into the hypotheticals, we were kind of texting back and forth on the hypotheticals on Sunday, and we mentioned a couple that I thought were pretty interesting, and there's some other ones from some listeners as well. I do an NBA Intelligentsia podcast on flagshippatreon.com sometimes, and Angry216, who I did the show with this year, had some good hypotheticals too. But this is kind of what we're dealing with is this sort of realm of trade. Is in the year 2000, the Lakers trade Shaq for Alonzo Mourning. You know what I mean? And even then, Shaq's a little older than Luka is at that time. But it's taking a guy who's this guy can get us to the promised land. But let's go get Alonzo Mourning instead. Because, Alonzo Mourning is Alonzo Mourning. And even that doesn't work because Alonzo Mourning's not as accomplished maybe as Anthony Davis is. So it's a little bit different that way. The Lakers trading Kobe Bryant in 1997 for Sean Kemp. Right on the cusp of finding out what Kobe's going to be and being Sean Kemp, though, he's a pretty good player. We should go get Sean Kemp or whatever. The Orlando Magic, I like this one. The Orlando Magic trading Shaq in 1996 for Charles Barkley. That's one that almost works.
Yeah.
Because that almost works because Orlando could be this guy's getting kind of fat. Maybe we should trade him, and then trading him for a fat guy. You know what I mean? Well, that guy's really fat. What are you doing? Because that's kind of what they're doing here. They're we need somebody who's reliable and durable and doesn't get hurt. We're going to trade for Anthony Davis, who's currently hurt. He was right at this exact second hurt, which is so weird. The Cavaliers trading LeBron James in 2006 for Tracy McGrady. Would be another real good, but LeBron was a. I don't know. Well,
he was a better player by
he
that.
Was a better
in 2006. He was definitely a better player. If they had rookie, if you traded rookie LeBron for Tracy McGrady, then McGrady was the better player at that point. But pretty soon after that,
because
McGrady would start getting hurt a lot and would
right
and all that. So yeah,
some other hypothetical ones too. This is from Angry216 said the Thunder trading Kevin Durant in 2012 for Kobe Bryant.
Okay.
Which is one I really like. This one's good too because we kind of forget how good Blake Griffin was. But the Clippers trading 2015 Blake Griffin for 2015 Chris Bosh.
Okay.
Which I think is a good one. The Celtics trading 2022 Jason Tatum for 2022 Chris Paul. Or the Hornets trading 2007 Chris Paul for Allen Iverson are all ones that I think are pretty fun to do. Because I don't know. I mean, we had a list of other big trades, and I don't know that any of them are comparable at all. Like, we could try, but I don't know.
Right. Yeah. So some of the bigger ones that you know, involving large stars, or there were kind of similar situations. Well, one is the Bill Russell trade, which I've seen a lot of people compare to Bill Russell before he joined the league. The Hawks drafted him, but then they traded him to the Celtics I'm completely blanking on who they traded him for.
Ed McCauley and what's his face? Why am I blanking?
What's his face?
What's his face?
14-year Cliff Hagen.
And
Ed McCauley, both Hall of Famers. So, yeah, I mean, it is definitely a bad historical trade. However, the Hawks, as we've talked about in previous episodes, again, been 14 months, so forgive us for being rusty on names. Ed McCauley was a Hall of Famer at the end of his career, and Cliff Hagen would go on to be a Hall of Famer. So the Hawks certainly got, you know, talent in that trade. But obviously, hey, Bill Russell, Hall of Famer.
And the Hawks,
you know, 11
won a championship too. People kind of forget that too. The Hawks did win a title with those guys.
And they went to 4 out of 5 finals. Yeah. They lost 3 times to the Celtics.
The guy they traded for, it was Bill Russell. And then obviously the Celtics were, hot take, more successful than the St. Louis Hawks. That's
right.
You know.
Yeah. And another one that, which actually I think might be the best comparison is January 1965. Wilt Chamberlain being traded by the San Francisco Warriors. This is a year after they'd just been to the finals. And, you know, Will at that point had 4 first team All-NBA appearances and a second team All-NBA appearance in his first 5 seasons. So similar to what we're going to be talking about with Luka. You know, he had scored 100 points in a game already, had, you know, averaged 15 a season already, you know, certainly, you know, incredibly accomplished at that point. But that was a situation. Now, the Warriors were a bit sick of Wilt, so it was kind of a, you know, there was some frustration from the front office of the Warriors at the time. They did also have Nate Thurmond as a backup, so, like, you know, they had somebody else they could go to who wasn't Wilt but was, you know, a Hall of Fame center, or would become a Hall of Fame center. But they traded him to the Sixers for, like, you know, basically 3 journeymen in cash. So not at all an equitable trade, but it was, I mean, Wilt was not happy there. They were not happy with Wilt. It wasn't as out of nowhere as, you know, as the Luka trade, but it was, I think, in terms of similar dynamic, it's about as close as I can think of, you know,
Like, you know, a successful team and a successful player, but it just was the team had just decided they were ready to move on from that guy. And like you said, the 4 first team and the 1 second team is we're pretty close there. Luka's obviously 5-time first team, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, but that is, we've probably hit on the closest one you could possibly get to. The problem is, though, like, does it work in terms of what the Sixers gave them back or whatever, or you know,
the Sixers didn't have to give up anything of, right. Basically, they were trying to get rid of the salary because they could. And I think there were probably economic reasons at the point. The Warriors were not drawing a lot of money.
Right.
Well, it was very expensive, you know. So there were probably legitimate financial considerations.
But that is a good one. That's probably the best, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the other one that I kind of thought of is Dennis Johnson and Paul Westphal. This was an offseason trade. This is Dennis Johnson going from the Sonics to the Suns for Paul Westphal. Dennis Johnson had just, you know, like a year and a half before, had gone to the finals. Paul Westphal had taken, you know, he was the stalwart Phoenix Sun. He had been to the All NBA first team 2 or 3 times. He was more advanced in his career, but that was more of a, you know, younger for older, kind of bringing like more of a steady veteran influence onto the Sonics. Dennis Johnson had feuded with his coach. So there's another one where it's like, okay, why would you give up this young guy for this older guy? It made more sense at the time than it looks at like now. Obviously Dennis Johnson was nowhere near as great of a historical player as Luka Doncic was, and neither was Paul Westphal for Anthony Davis. But in terms of like their importance in the NBA at the time, and kind of the we're gonna trade, you know, our problem to this team and get this older guy who might steady things for us, that kind of makes sense. But again, other than being a fatty. It doesn't seem like Doncic caused any problems with the Mavs. His teammates seem to like him. There has not been any like reported major problem that was being caused there outside of management didn't like his work ethic, apparently.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, there's other ones, you know, that again, you know, like Kareem being traded from the Bucks. Well, Kareem didn't want to be in Milwaukee anymore. So the Bucks found the best, you know, trade they could get and got a bunch of assets from the Lakers for him. In situations like Dwight Howard forcing his way out of Orlando, eventually going to the Lakers, you know, Chris Paul forcing his way out of New Orleans, almost going to the Lakers and later going to the Clippers. And then Steve Ashburner for NBA.com gave a few others that are interesting to think about. Chris Webber to Sacramento for Mitch Richmond. Otis, and that's actually a pretty good one.
Because
you think of Mitch Richmond as like, yeah, how important he was in Sacramento Kings history at the time. People thought of Webber as like a malcontent who was never going to get good. Like in terms of like how it seems like the Mavs management felt about Luka, that was actually the way that like Webber seemed to kind of be before he went to Sacramento. And then he was like a model citizen and, you know, led them to the greatest success they've ever had.
Right. Yeah. Both the Warriors and the Wizards, or I guess Bullets, I guess I forget if they were the Wizards or the Bullets at the time, were both just like, this guy, we're not gonna be able to do anything with this guy. He's a malcontent or whatever. So they send him off to like Siberia. Like literally when that trade went on, it was like, Chris Webber is, you know, such a malcontent. He's been sent to Siberia and Sacramento.
Right.
And it's like, you know, and then they ended up having great success and nearly won an NBA championship or, you know, nearly made an NBA finals. So, and that's a pretty good one too, because Mitch Richmond was a very well-known and very respected, you know, Sacramento King too. So that is definitely one that you can, you know, we're not talking about I don't know that we're quite at the level of player for either. I guess Chris Webber at that time was probably a top 10, 15 guy. And I guess Mitch was top 20, 25 in that. Maybe.
Yeah. I don't think quite at the highest level yet, but they were both, they were, Webber's probably top 15, top 20. Rich was probably a top 30. So in that vein, but not quite there. But definitely interesting. Another one that's, like Elvin Hayes to going to the Bullets for Jack Maron. Like that's another where Hayes was young, talented, but considered mercurial. And then traded for a guy who was supposed to kind of be a steadying influence. It was a very good player for the Bullets, although that ended up not working out at all for Houston. A trade that at least was like kind of out of nowhere was Paul George going to the Clippers for SGA, Danilo Gallinari, and like 1,000 draft picks, which ended up being the catalyst for Kawhi Leonard to sign with the Clippers. That's kind of WTF kind of trade of just suddenly like, oh, this is, you know, crazy and out of nowhere a type of trade. But again, you know, very different basketball situation in terms of that.
Yeah, for sure. And that one, you know, people do have been bringing that one up a lot over the week. But I mean, people knew that there was a lot of talent that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had, but I don't think anybody thought that, you know, it would be hard to project, oh, they're trading a guy who's definitely going to be an MVP contender. Like, you don't know that at the time. You knew that this was a guy who had, you know, all the potential to do really well. But, you know, in hindsight, now it looks even worse than it did at the time. But at the time, it was like, oh, they're trading for a guy, and who knows what they're going to get out of SGA. Maybe he can get to this level. And the Oklahoma City Thunder had the best case scenario from SGA that we're watching this year.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they were able to get Kawhi Leonard. I'm sure you do that it didn't work out for the Clippers the way they wanted it to, but you're able to do this and get Paul George and also get Kawhi Leonard. And I think you do that 10 times out of 10, no matter what happens with SGA in a few years. Another one, Moses Malone trade to the Sixers. But again, Moses Malone was, that was more like a restricted free agency type of trade. They were able to get assets out of that. Houston was. Earl Monroe trade to the Knicks, Dennis Rodman to the Bulls for Will Perdue. Although again, Rodman wasn't like the level of player, you know. The Allen Iverson trade, that's kind of an interesting one to Denver. That's another situation where now Iverson wasn't happy, Philly wasn't happy with Iverson, but in terms of like the way that the franchise loved, you know, I think loved Allen Iverson the same way that Dallas fans seem to love Doncic. This is kind of a similar type of trade. Now, Iverson was obviously further along in his career, was pretty much near the end of the peak of his basketball powers. But in terms of like how it may have felt to the fan base, I can kind of see some similarities there.
It's close. Yeah, there was a little bit of Iverson fatigue at that time, though, too. I mean, there was a little bit, especially sure. in Philly. I think there was a little bit where – that's why this one is so weird, because nobody had any fatigue. Everyone was just like – we didn't have, like, the – because Iverson had, you know, the finals run, and then there was, like, 4 or 5 years of just kind of, like, you know, just kind of
hanging around. Yeah, they're
water. Like, we didn't – the Mavs, they didn't have that. You know what I mean? It wasn't like they made this finals run, and then the next couple years it was like, we're, like, a 38 to 45 win team, and Luka can't get over the hump or whatever. That never really happened here. Yeah, we didn't. We just skipped past that entire part and went right to. But that's what they're banking on. The Nico Harrison and the Mavs are banking on that being the case for Luka. You know, similar to what happened with Iverson in Philly. But yeah, that's a good one too, because the heartfelt, like, oh my god, we just traded Allen Iverson. Like, he's the player that we most, you know, an entire generation of Sixers fans most identified with, and he's now gone.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that really, you know, that's just, you know, those are pretty much the big ones for me. And, but again, nothing that is, yeah, there's no exact parallel. There's ones where if you kind of squint a little bit, you can kind of see like, oh yeah, this is, this sort of fits that, but they're all, you know, they're all different. they're pretty all significantly different.
Right. Yeah. There's not one you can really nail down. I did find, you know, hypothetical trades that were out there, and we've done, we did a show many, many moons ago about Hakeem Olajuwon and how a lot of people forget that Hakeem Olajuwon requested a trade in 1992, and kind of similar to how Luka was sent out of town. That's what the Rockets were doing with Hakeem Olajuwon at that time. Oh, he's malcontent. Right. He doesn't try hard. He's hurt. He says he's hurt, but he's not really hurt. And he's, you know, he does this. He doesn't get his body in shape. So that was all. It reached a point where he was like, I'm out of here. I want out. And Houston was more than happy to send him out. And so apparently the Lakers offered Vlade Divac, a future first rounder, Eldon Campbell, and James Worthy for Hakeem Olajuwon. What just doesn't work, though, is Hakeem's already pretty old at that point. You know what I mean? He's like in his 30s or something at that point. But, you know, he would then have, like, you know, his kind of late peak where the Rockets would obviously win back-to-back titles or whatever. But you could, you know, he's already 8 or 9 years into his career at that point. So I don't know. But it's an interesting one. But again, like, Vlade and Eldon Campbell and James Worthy are not, they're not, in 1992 especially, are not the level of Anthony Davis or in Hakeem's, you know, it's weird. It doesn't quite work out, but regardless, Vlade had some contract issues that prevented it from happening. So I did see one post as well on Reddit that actually might bring this not in the sports world, but for those in the music world might make a little bit more sense. It's basically like Destiny's Child trading Beyonce to TLC for Chili, which is like, you know, you're getting a good.
I love Chili, of course. Yeah, I mean, who doesn't? Right. But yes, but you know, in terms of career accomplishments, Beyonce slightly ahead, maybe. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So, I mean, we've talked about this is different than other trades, and we've talked a little bit about why, but here's, you know, some really major things that make this different from other trades, some of which we talked about, some others that, you know, listeners might be thinking about. This is the first time ever two All-NBA players were traded for one another the year after appearing on the All-NBA list. And, you know, yeah, this is, you know, as we talked about, this is a challenge trade. Luka didn't force his way out of Dallas. Pretty much every other trade we talked about, you know, the player that, you know, at least one of the players that was traded didn't want to be there, or at least was, you know, they were the, you know, the star was unhappy for whatever reason. Luka apparently didn't seem unhappy. The Mavs ostensibly made this trade because they thought that Anthony Davis would make them better.
Right.
Yeah. And yeah, it's again, Luka, as far, no reporting has ever suggested anything where he, you know, because one of the things that's like, well, right after the trade happens, like, all right, what's going on with Luka? Is there a legal issue? You know, some sort of thing, some sort of reason why the Mavs had to trade him immediately or it was going to be a problem, some sort of scandal coming.
Right. That, or his agent, you know, in back channels demanded that he be traded immediately or whatever. Right. Yeah.
Right. And none of that seems to be the case. So, yeah, I mean, this usually just happens when the star is on the downswing or the team is cratered. They obviously went to the finals last year. They were fine this year. Luke has been hurt. They struggled a little bit, but you know, they're a solid playoff team. Like, that making another finals run, not likely because it wasn't likely last year, but not out of the realm of possibility that Luka comes in and they're great again. And yeah, and here's a weird one. This is like kind of mind blowing, but this is the first time in LeBron James's career, this 22nd season, I think, 21st, 22nd season, whatever, he's not the most important player on the team that he's playing for.
Yeah.
Which is it's kind of hard to like think, you know, hard to fathom.
I mean, from his rookie year, I mean, that I don't think there's anybody on that Cavs team that you would say was more important than LeBron. And then the only other time maybe that an argument could sort of be made was the first year in Miami, because Wade was the one who had the cachet with the championship history in the city. And it did seem like Wade was the guy that kind of brought LeBron and Bosch there. And on the court, they tried to do a little bit of a 1A, 1B thing during the first run. But then by year two, it was like LeBron took full control of the team. And then the Death Star had been fully, you know, created. And then it was over. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. And yeah, you could argue at maybe at certain points with AD that AD might have been the better player at certain times. But yeah, was he ever a more important player than LeBron? I don't think so. Yeah,
No.
Yeah, but yeah, now the team, the Lakers going forward are pretty much going to focus on like, yeah, how can we maximize everything around Luka? I mean, I'm sure that short-term goal of the next year and a half, they want to try to win a championship while they still have LeBron there too, because he's obviously still a great player even at 40. But, you know, but probably they're more, you know, they're not going to do anything in the short term that's probably going to hurt their chances to have, you know, another great team anchored by, you know, a 25-year-old star going into his prime.
Yeah, it's just such a weird trade that's happened. It's like one of these weird trades that, like, now at this time, like, I think Luka's, you know, we're recording this, Luka had already had his introductory press conference, Anthony Davis has met everybody. It still feels like something's going to happen where, you know, they're like, ah, actually, sorry, guys, go back to your normal teams. Yeah. Like, oops. We discovered this is not legal trade.
Oopsie.
Yeah. This is, should not have happened. And, you know, there's some conspiracy. Like, I keep waiting for that moment where the NBA, like, Adam Silver's got to say,
Trump's going to intervene. Yeah, it's like, right, you know, right.
Yeah, come on.
Going to deport Luka or something. Yeah,
right. Exactly. Like, you're just waiting for something, but I don't think so. I think it's just real, but
yeah. Well, you know, I think, okay, so how great is Luka both now and you know, at this stage of his career? So, you know, if you look at like the last 3.5 seasons, the highest box score plus minus, you know, we already talked a little bit about like who would you trade, who might you consider trading for Luka, or who would you, I guess, not consider trading for Luka? So if you look at box score plus minus over the last 3.5 seasons, Nikola Jokic is by far number one at 13.4. Next is Joel Embiid at 9.4. Giannis is at 9.3. And then Luka is fourth at 8.9. And then, you know, then there's a pretty big drop off until you get to SGA and LeBron, Jimmy Butler, those guys. So, you know, Luka, again, I mean, which is this all kind of, this is basically what we already said, where he's pretty much outside of Jokic, who's just kind of like a level above, at least in this this category. He's among the best players in the league, and you know, and he's younger than almost everybody on this list. So that he's just, yeah, he's clearly been one of the best players in the league for the past 3.5 more years, you know, with all those, at least in the last 5 years of the All NBA. If you look at box score plus minus for players in their first 7 seasons, so this is first tracked in the 74 season, so we're not considering guys like Russell and you know, pre-74 guys, but if you look at the list of the highest box score plus minus, Michael Jordan's number one at 11, LeBron's number two at 9.0, Jokic is number three at 8.7. Then you've got David Robinson at 8.7. You got Kareem at 7.9, which is really impressive because it only considers 74, 75, and 76 seasons. So it doesn't right. consider his first 4 seasons. So,
right, which is still pretty insane. Right. Kareem facts, our classic like Kareem facts. It's like just unbelievable that, yeah, you lop off like four dominant years, and he's still top five.
He's still top five. He'd probably be number one or number two if it hadn't been for that. But anyway, then Chris Paul is next at 7.9, and then you got Doncic at 7.7. So seventh most for any player since, you know, of the last 50 years. Then you get, like, you know, Larry Bird, John Stockton, Magic Johnson, Dwayne Wade, Charles Barkley, all kind of like right around the same level. So, you know, obviously historically great. And this is for seven seasons, which, by the way, Luke hasn't even gotten. This is year six for Luca. So, you know, this is year seven for Luke, but he's not done with the season yet. So he's got career averages of 28.6 points per game, 8.7 rebounds, 8.3 assists. The full list of anyone to average those marks in their career. Yeah. Nobody. Luka Doncic. That's it.
Right. It's just him. Now, obviously you do not assume that for the rest of his career, he's going to have those averages, but it just kind of puts into context how good he is at this exact moment, is that nobody has ever averaged that he is alone in that. You do a stat head research for it. It just comes up with Luka Doncic. Now, if you take seasons all time with those numbers, so we have Luka's career averages. Now, I did a stathead.com search for any season where anybody put up numbers that Luka has averaged throughout his career, okay? So any season, all time, with those numbers. There's a couple guys. Nikola Jokic, this present year, where he's having like another one of these incredible years where you're like, oh my God, Nikola Jokic is having the greatest year ever again, as he does often. Then it's Luka in 24, Luka in 23, Luka in 22, and Luka in 2020, okay? Otherwise, you have James Harden in 2017, not his first year in Houston, no, a couple years into Houston. That's pretty prime Harden, Houston. Sure. Russell Westbrook in Oklahoma City in 2017, Michael Jordan in 1989, Oscar Robertson in 65, Oscar Robertson in 64, Oscar Robertson in 63, Oscar Robertson in 62, Oscar Robinson 61. So what we can tell from there is basically Luka Doncic is basically having prime Oscar Robertson seasons as his averages so far throughout his career Oscar Robertson. Prime Oscar Robertson is what Luka is right now. That's pretty good.
And that's a pretty apt comparison historically. We'll get into more that kind of shows that. But yeah, absolutely. That's, you know, right. Exactly where he is.
Playoffs, though. Playoff performer, you might be saying. Right. Well, yeah, that was regular season.
Yeah, what about the playoffs?
Yeah, does he get it done in the big games? Well, his playoff he has had 9 playoff series so far over 4 years, 2 Western Conference Finals, and obviously an NBA Finals berth in there as well. 30.9 points per game, 9.4 assists per game, and 8 rebounds per game. So the number of people to ever put up numbers like that over their playoff careers are nobody, just him, just Luka Doncic again. Yeah. 39-8, just Luka. Now, if we take those averages and find individual playoff runs, again, we are met with a very similar list to what we had above of, okay, any individual who in any given year had a run like Luka's averaged in his playoffs. We have Oscar Robertson in 1963, LeBron James in 2015, Russell Westbrook in 2017, LeBron James in 2018, Luka Doncic again in 2020, and Nikola Jokic in 2023. So it's like, those are a lot of title winners. It's a lot of finals. Yeah. Those are 3 guys that made it to the finals, 3 guys that you know, it's again, it's just, we're very, really rarefied air with what this guy has done already at age 25.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And, you know, people got on, you know, they got him on a little bit for tiring out in the NBA finals last year, bad body language, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, again, like that and like the whatever concerns that, you know, the Mavs have about, you know, physical fitness or, you know, whatever his conditioning. I mean, those are, that's okay. Yes. Those are things to have maybe some concerns about, but, but look, his finals averages were 29.2 points per game, 8.8 rebounds per game, 5.6 assists per game. And then, you look at the list of guys who have averaged that stat line throughout a playoff run. It's not a huge number of guys.
Yeah, it's just 22 individual seasons that have had that. Now, that's his down. Right. That was his disappointing down output in the finals. And you're like 63 Oscar Robertson, 64 Oscar Robertson, 1984 Alex English, a bunch of LeBron years, 2006 LeBron, 2009 LeBron, 2010 LeBron, 2012 LeBron. Again, this is Luka's down run. Right. Kevin Durant in 2013, LeBron James in 2015, Russell Westbrook in 2017, LeBron in 2017, Russell Westbrook in 18, LeBron in 18, Luka, Jokic, Giannis, Jokic, Giannis, Luka, Durant, Jokic. It's just like, you know what I mean? We're talking about guys. These are pretty good playoff runs. pretty good playoff runs that are still, you know, 22 guys all, you know, somewhat modern, you know, skewing a little bit more modern, but you know, that's his downer disappointing finals run. And you know, I agree that his output and the body language, a lot of the stuff in the finals was not good, but man, I don't know. I could probably find something to do with 29.2 points per game, 8.8 rebounds per game, and 5.6 assists per game against a really good Celtics team. Like, I don't know. I don't know if that was cause for concern to say, this thing's not going to work.
Yeah,
this
we got to get rid of him. Yeah,
this simply is just not going to work with this man and his lack of output here in these NBA finals.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I have some acne in my back. Well, I'm just going to kill myself because there's no hope for me, you know, to get better. So I'm just, right. So, yeah, you look at, we've mentioned here, Luka's been on the all-NBA team, first team 5 years in a row in six seasons. He's not going to play enough games this year to qualify for 6 years in a row because they had now the you have to play at least 65 games in order to qualify for that. But still, five in a row, very impressive. So the only players who have been on the first team at least 5 years in a row, and I'm going to list the ages they were when they earned their fifth. So LeBron James, 11 times in a row, earned his fifth at age 26. So he's close. Karl Malone, 11 in a row. Our favorite player, Karl Malone. Everybody loves Karl Malone. Age 29. Bob Bennett did 10 times in a row. He was 26 when he got his fifth. Bob Cousy also had 10 in a row. He was 27. Oscar Robertson, 9 in a row. He was 25 when he earned his fifth. So he's right around there. And
we keep going back to Oscar. Yeah, we keep going back to Oscar.
Right. And actually, Luka was 24, by the way. He's 25 now. He was 24 when he got his fifth. So worth noting. Larry Bird, 9 in a row. He's
Should we start conspiracies that this guy, like, that he's got falsified birth records? Like, maybe that's where we're at.
Maybe that's it. Maybe
he spent some time in Cuba and he's
33, which is why they are concerned about his physical fitness.
You know, right, like, which is fair. 33. That's fair. Yeah. If that turns out to be true, then okay, this whole podcast is null and void. Like, it makes all the sense in the world, if and only if it is found that Luka Doncic is actually 33 years old.
It'll get lost with the Moses Malone series. Yeah. Magic Johnson, 9 in a row, age 28. Kobe Bryant, 8 in a row, age 28. Tim Duncan, 8 in a row. He's 25 when he got his fifth. Michael Jordan, 7 in a row. If you discount the partial 95 season, then it'll be 10 in a row. I'm going to say that for all the Jordan enthusiasts here who are might yell at me if I don't mention that. He was 27 when he got his fifth in a row. Elgin Baylor had 7 in a row. He was age 28. Giannis has an active streak of 6 in a row. He was 28 when he got his fifth. Jerry West had 6 in a row. He was 27. Shaq had 5 in a row. He was age 30 when he got it. By the way, six in a row, those were during his Lakers years. Yeah. He didn't have the streak when he was with the early in his career. Rick Barry, he had 6 in a row. If you don't count the 68 season in which he sat out, which I think is fair because he had to sit out for his option year clause due to moving to the ABA. So he had 2 in the NBA, 4 in the ABA. He was 27 when he got that. George Mikan, his 6 years in the NBA, he was obviously older since he played in the NBL earlier on. He was 29. Dwight Howard from 2008 to 2012, he was actually 26 in 2012 when he got his, which I kind of forgot about that.
We always say, Dwight Howard was so much better than people remember him.
Right, yeah, because he kind of fell off. Now, you know, if Luka falls off like Dwight Howard did, okay, you know, then we're seeing a little bit more of, like, you know, reasoning there, but I'm kind of guessing it's probably not going to happen. Kevin Durant, he did his from 2010 to 2014. He was 25 when his ended, and then George Gervin did 5 years in a row. He was age 29 when it ended. So really, the only guys who compare to Doncic at the same point in their age and career, in which again, five times by age 25 and five times in their first seven seasons, we've got LeBron, who did it in 8 seasons, age 26, Oscar, who did it in 5 seasons, age 25, Duncan, who did it 5 seasons at age 25, Dwight, who did it in 8 seasons at age 26, and Durant, who did it in 7 seasons at age 25. So very, very, very rarefied air for Doncic. And, you know, outside of Dwight Howard, Dwight Howard's a Hall of Famer, but, like, you know, like, the other four guys are iconic, you know, greatest among, you know, probably 15 greatest players in NBA history. You know, absolutely best ever. Dwight's, you know, at a greatness prime, but a lower category, you know, historically, like top 50, top 75. Yes. Top 20, 25. No, I would not say so.
Right. I think it's telling that we just keep going back to Oscar Robertson. It's just like, that's a pretty good cop. And the other ones there, Oscar and Duncan, you know, Oscar and Tim Duncan are the only guys 5 seasons at age 25. to get to that point, which is just, you know, remarkable. And you know, we kind of, you know, circling back to something we were talking about at the beginning, like, are we not giving Anthony Davis enough credit? And it's kind of yes or no, because there's no denying that Anthony Davis is one of the best 10 to 15 players in the league right now. He's a surefire Hall of Famer. Nobody would argue that. There's level to this, though. There is levels. And Davis, who is a 9-time All-Star and a former champion, he only has 5 All-NBA team selections in his entire career, 4 times in the first team and 1 time in the second team. And that's over the course of his 13 years in the league. Or I guess it's 12 full years, I believe. I think he's in his 13th year right now.
Sure.
So just to kind of give you an idea, again, that Luka's just, you know, 6 full years into his career and as a 5-time All-NBA first teamer. I mean, that's why we're saying there's levels to this stuff. And, you know, Anthony Davis's his career averages, though, to kind of give him a little bit more credit.
Yeah.
24.2 points per game, 10 rebounds per game, 2.3 blocks per game. So if we do 24 points per game, 10 rebounds a game, 2 blocks a game, that puts him in elite company. The only guys with stat lines like that are Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Anthony Davis. So right. That's good. Now, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar obviously influenced the game in many, many, many more ways than Anthony Davis did. Plus, Kareem averaged that throughout his entire career. Anthony Davis, yeah. You could probably assume at some point is going to slow down and not be as good as he was. But at this point in their lives and in their careers, if Anthony Davis retired tomorrow, that would be, you know, his comps there for those all-time numbers. So that's good. That's a very, very, very good player, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the problem, I mean, really, yeah, Anthony Davis has been a fantastic player and would have more All-NBA accolades had he been more healthy in his career.
Right.
He just, you know, and it's not his fault. I mean, he just, like, has had durability issues. He's actually been more durable the last couple of seasons. And, like, yeah, again, it might work out okay for Dallas. Like, they might, like, in the next year and a half, like, would I say that they can't win a championship? Like, no, I mean, I think they could. I mean, I don't think, like, super likely that they could, but it could work out okay for them in the short term. But yeah, it's just, but for, you know, what they gave up, both short term and long term, had the opportunity to be incredibly special. And you know, it's not necessarily a complete disaster. You know, it could end up working out okay for them, or even well for them. Maybe, yeah, maybe Doncic, like, gains 40 pounds like Sean Kemp, and that, like, you know, like, there's that Sean Kemp comparison. Maybe, like, he, you know, ends up eating his way out of the league or something like that. And Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving have great chemistry, and they get another star, and then they, you know, then they're their best team in the league for the next 2 or 3 years. I mean, maybe that, but yeah, what seems like a more likely attribute, story is that you keep the guy who's been historically great his first 6 seasons. You keep your modern Oscar Robertson, and you're able to, like, surround him with, you know, good enough guys to, you know, keep his career going, keep his teams competitive. And, you know, it seems like they have a better chance at great success, especially over the long term, if they go down that path. But whatever.
Yeah, and even if you got to a point where at some point in the next year or so, his team says, okay, where you got to go? We can't have this anymore. Like, his like management team, his agent, or he himself decide, oh, we're done here. We got to get out of Dallas. We're never going to win. You know, you get right. The trade request era. Like, again, I feel like you just put Luka on the open market. We just talked about it. It's Oscar Robertson. It's like, you what are you going to trade for Oscar Robertson? I think a lot of teams will call and say, yeah, we'll take us some prime Oscar Robertson. I think we can make do with that. And that's to me the most perplexing thing about this trade. Not necessarily the fact that it was, you know, Luka being traded for Anthony Davis. It's the fact that, you know, the Mavs initiated this and pretty much only talked to one team and decided to do this all in secrecy and not let it get out and not tell anybody and stuff. And that's just not how NBA business is really done. And I think the results are a deal that on its face right now, you know, recording this in February of 2025, looks pretty ridiculous and looks pretty wild and very one-sided. But we'll see if, you know, we come back to this, you know, in many, many years and go, wow, that was a what a gambit they made. You know,
what Nico, what a genius he
right,
was.
Right, maybe. Yes. I mean, it's possible, but it's just hard to believe. Just the way that they went about it, it seems hard to believe that. It seems hard to believe that it's going to get that way when you don't have it be an open market and don't let every other team offer you everything they possibly can. And then continue to ask, you know, if you want Anthony Davis, you tell the Lakers, look, these guys are offering us this, this, and this. Give us Dalton Connect. Give us that other first round pick. You know, give us something else. And it's like, you know, they let the Lakers keep a draft pick, which is just like, no, I'm sorry. Yeah. Like, we're giving you Luka. You got to give us another draft pick, man.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, again, as we said, the result could end up being okay for the Mavs, but the process, the process is incredibly weird.
Dropping at like 11 p.m. Eastern on like a Saturday, you know what I mean? Midseason, a week before the trade deadline, it's just all so weird. So weird.
Exactly. Yes.
So. One thing I did want to, before we depart here, the Lakers do it yet again. I mentioned a little bit earlier. It's just like, come on, man. Why do we have to do this every generation? Every generation has lived through the Lakers just stumbling their way into a generational talent, never really giving up that much, and just always being set up for the future. You can go back, you can go from Wilt to Kareem to Kobe to Shaq to Powell to LeBron. It just never ends every time. Jamal Wilkes, time.
We'll take that. Sure. We'll take this. They were gifted the draft pick that was James Worthy.
A coin flip got him Magic Johnson. You know what I mean?
They are. Somebody loves LA. It's somebody up there. Some the basketball gods for
the
some
basketball
reason.
Gods love may, them some Lakers. May, not the Clippers.
Maybe not, yeah, the not Clippers. The Clippers. Not they, the Clippers though.
They only like one maybe, LA team for sure.
Maybe that's why Jerry West had to suffer so much. Jerry West had, he died for everybody's LA sins, and then he lost all those. He and Elgin Baylor had to lose all those finals, and then it brought nothing but glory for the Lakers for the next 50 years.
There is a Lakers fan out there. They're pretty advanced age. I don't know at this point that lived through all those NBA Finals losses and is like, no, it wasn't all
sunshine and roses.
We had a tough run there for a while, but that's all right. The next 45 years have been pretty good, but it's like, I don't know if he's listening to this show, but if he is, let us know. 80 he'd be in his that man would be very old at this point. Remembering the late 50s early 60s, you got to be pretty
if you're like, let's say you could have been born in like 1950 and remember like the 60s Lakers so that's putting you at like 75 or so. Older, but there's plenty of 75 birds of course out there. It's not like we're looking for a World War II veteran. We're a little more. So, all right. Well, anyway, Rich, good to do
this
a podcast with you again.
Yeah, this is fun.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll do another one. Who knows?
We just need another. This trade deadline. Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? Yeah.
This trade deadline. But let's definitely do it again. So that was great. Right. I really had a great time. Yeah. Hey, do you have anything to plug? What are you doing? What's going on?
Oh, I do nothing. I absolutely I have nothing. I'm living my life. I am very much not on social media anymore, pretty much. So
you are the smartest person on this planet.
Life got a little weird there. So I am. But I'm just chills. I got nothing to plug.
There it is. Well, that is Jason. I'm Rich. Over and backnba.com, I believe. Let me see if the URL still works. I think it does.
Yeah.
I pay for it every single year. I think it still does. To our archives, because maybe this is the first time that you've ever listened to this show. Maybe you're listening on flagshippatreon.com. You're like, Over and Back, this sounds pretty good. You guys talk NBA history? We have three? It says 324 episodes. When did we do our first one? It was like 2014 or something like that, I think.
Yes, 2014 was our first. August of 2014. So, we did 300 plus episodes, and most of them you could go back and listen to, and they would be pretty much 100% or 90% still on point, because as you talked about, we talk about NBA history, so a lot of things in the past obviously doesn't change. The context around it might change as we go forward. So you can dig into the archives and get a lot of stuff. Hopefully if you're into NBA history, we've dove into a lot of subjects on the NBA history. We had a whole lot of terrific guests, really fun shows. So if you're hearing about us for the first time, there's plenty to go in there. And yes, over and back NBA.com still works.
Yep, still works. So you can still go there. Over and back NBA.com. Go check that out and show us some support. So all right, that is it. That's Jason. I'm Rich. Talk to you guys next time. Bye.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.